nature of our campus here, there's really only so many places. There's a lot more than you think, but there's only so many places that people can be funneled into. And I'm okay having 50 people on each team. I'm fine with that because more hands make the load lighter, and everybody needs a place to contribute and to be involved in. And if you're new here, we encourage you to get the link from Sister Rebecca Kaiser for our Next Steps program. You can take yourself through that online. I do want to announce that very soon, I don't know how soon, but hopefully within the next 4 to 6 weeks, we will be relaunching our in-person Next Steps program, and that will happen on Thursday nights. It will be the same material if you've been through the digital version. It's just that some people learn better in person. Some people like being in a class setting, and then some people learn better by themselves, watching videos, answering questions in that way. So we are creating both ways for people to go through, get acclimated with us, learn the doctrine, understand what the Bible talks about, our discipleship path, our leadership path, and so forth. And hopefully we will be relaunching that in the next 4 to 6 weeks. I've already spoken to a couple of people about leading that class, and I'm excited about that. To all of our directors, we need you. If you lead a department, parking team, greeters, ushers, whatever that is, kids department, anything, cleanup crew. We don't really have a crew. We have a couple of ladies that keep the church clean. I noticed Amanda and who else was it? Dawn? Yes, Mary Willits. I noticed them staying after church today, helping Dawn straighten the building back up, clean the restrooms and things of that nature. That is involvement, and we need that. But whatever the department is that you lead, if you are a director, we need you to help us create pathways for people to move into leadership. And everybody's not going to be qualified immediately that volunteers, but if they volunteer, that shows willingness, and we want to help them to learn what they need to do to get qualified for whatever position it is that they're wanting to be involved in. So if you're a director, help us with that. It's kind of a difficult thing pastoring a church to get the church to stay out of that us for them no more mentality. That was part of the reason for moving from your reserve seating. That was not targeted toward one or two people. That was targeted toward everybody, because most everybody sits in the same seats all the time, and I'm just trying to shake things up a little bit. So thank you, those of you that have participated in that already. But it's also difficult when you're in leadership and a leadership team gets that chemistry and they coalesce and they know what to expect from one another. They work well together. When you start interjecting new leaders that are not as familiar with the church, they didn't grow up in our particular culture, meaning I don't mean even religious culture. It just means greater faith culture, things of that nature. It can be a little awkward sometimes to adapt and adjust to those new personalities, the new input, new ideas. And sometimes someone new joins the team that may be as qualified or more qualified than the team members that already exist, because maybe they were trained in some form of leadership in the corporate world, or their education level is higher, or they were just raised differently. That doesn't diminish anybody's leadership opportunity, but we just need our leaders to cooperate with that so that we don't squeeze people out of leadership. We want to create areas of involvement for everybody that wants to be involved. And I'll say this before I preach, if you would get ready, but don't do that until I tell you. But obviously, every day of my life, I wake up with the weight of River Falls on my shoulders. I feel the weight of it. I feel the burden of it. I believe that that is the will of God. I believe it's the destiny. I have believed it for a very long time, and I get that. And we still continue to pray, and that vision is right there on that wall until that door slams in our face. And even if somebody else comes in there and develops that and opens a business, it doesn't mean that God won't bankrupt the business to put us into a better developed space. So until heaven slams the door, that is the vision. That is the vision. But yesterday I spent several hours on this parking lot. I have considered all forms of growth. I got on ChatGPT, and for those of you over 50, you're like, chat who? And what does chat know? Well, chat is not the sovereign God, but AI is changing the world. And so I do think it does spit out some good information, even if it's information that sparks ideas and thoughts that you have not considered, that causes you, sends you another down another wormhole looking for more information. And so I started asking chat. I was sitting right out here in the parking lot in my car, and I started asking chat different questions about church growth and where we are as a church, and it confirmed all of the things that we already know about our facility. Our facility is limiting us. It is. And it is very frustrating. We have been here, my family and I have been here 24 and a half years, and we fill up to capacity, and we shrink down to 70%, and we fill up to capacity. That has happened many times over the years, and just about the time you think you're packed out, where are we going to put everybody, it starts shrinking down because there is crowdedness going on. And that's why we changed the seating in here about a couple of weeks ago. Some of you haven't even noticed that you have more room between the pews. Some of you haven't noticed that we situated things a little different so that it feels roomier, more roomier in here. And so there are little adjustments that we can make. But in my conversation with Elder Chat yesterday, and understand, I'm letting it have its place, okay? But just asking questions, because it's amazing the stuff that it can spit out. It confirmed all these things that we know. I asked Chad about building a children and youth center over there on that 1 acre of land so that we could expand the sanctuary. I asked Chad about extending this building 60 feet and building it all out and making the transition from demolishing this platform, knocking out that wall, going into that space, having that space in there about 75% done behind the building. Some of you don't understand what I'm talking about, but I don't have time to clarify it. Building onto the building, but getting 75% of it done before we knock out the wall or do anything to mess up this room. And I've also asked Chad about extending the building that way. And Chad came back and said, that is not the best course of action for you. The best course of action is for you to build a brand new building adjacent to this building that would serve as the auditorium and the offices and turn this existing building into the Children and Youth Center. And so I asked Chad if it would just create a rendering for me. And in about 30 seconds, it spit out a rendering for me. And I said, okay, I want to change it to look like this. And it spit out another one. And I said, okay, I want to add this. All right, I want to raise the height of the building. I want it to be a different shape. I want the parking to look different. I want it to join the building here. And just going through that, and it just kept putting out renderings. Now, it is not my choice to build a building out here. But the only reason I'm putting it out here is because I just want you to know that we are constantly doing, thinking, praying, believing to do anything that we feel to do in the Holy Ghost so that this church can continue to grow and expand. Well, we have a school that we haven't finished. I understand that. But I can't wait until the school is done to start thinking about the next step. So we are always thinking 2, 3, 5, 10 years in the future. And so I don't want to build a building out there, but should the Holy Ghost tell us to build a building out there, maybe it would look a little something like this. So it just so you understand, and it's, you can't proportionally, you can't tell, but this is our building. This is the building that we're in. This is the canopy out there out front. And this canopy would be closed in with glass, a glass front, and the new building, which would be 120 feet wide. It would be the width of that parking lot there, and it would be 160 feet long. We are currently, our entire building is currently 16,900 square feet. That would be a 19,000 square foot building, which would give us about 46 or 47,000 square feet here on this property. We own the adjacent acre. We have been told by Mickey's son, Mitch, that he would sell us another 3/4 acre that joins that yard there. So it would take care of all the parking. I'm not saying this is what we're going to do, but I don't ever want the church to feel like that we are just stuck. We are constantly listening for the direction of the Holy Ghost. And we are constantly researching. And so this would become our children and youth center. And this would be a building that seats 800 people. That would be double the size that we are right now. And this is not giving up on that vision, but I told the Lord yesterday, something has to happen, God. And so we just need some direction. And so it's amazing the world that we live in, the technology. I even asked it, I said, give me a blueprint for this building. I'm not going to show you that because there's some things that are out of proportion there. But in about 30 seconds, it spit out a blueprint for this building with the offices, the auditorium, and all that kind of stuff. But Greater Faith is a growing church. It is a maturing church. We are not a stagnant church. We are developing people. We are developing leaders. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give Him praise. Come on, praise Him. I don't know if that's the will of God, but if it is, amen, the Lord is going to help us. Amen. You believe that? So that's probably $7 or $7.5 million transformation there. That includes all of the that building is bigger than you think it is. That includes all of the new parking, the refurbishing of the current parking, about $800,000 on the repurposing of this building, not doing away from our renovation, the money that we put in here, because that was one thing that Chad said is you don't want to lose the money you invested in your renovation a few years ago. But we can repurpose some things in this building without losing value on that and without having to tear the whole thing up. And it would allow us to continue to grow. And of course, the more people that you're able to get in the building, the revenue goes up. That begins to unlock so many more possibilities on a revenue source and a giving source to buy more property, to buy more buildings, to plant more churches. And I don't know what's first. I don't know if the planting of Jeff is first. I would think that it probably is. I don't know if that's first. I don't know if we're going to get in the middle of finishing that school and somebody call me and say, hey, we want to talk to you about River Falls. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm putting this up here because I want you to know that if this is what God wants, we'll do this. But that is the vision. And if the Lord wants this to be part of the vision, that's okay too. Amen. I just want to be involved in God, things that God is doing great for His kingdom. I want to do something that changes the landscape of this city. And I want us to maintain, sustain the dominion that we have. And everybody say, win your world. Amen. And win your world helps us to develop more leaders. It helps us to tweak our departments to become more proficient at what we do. It helps us to train soul winners. disciple makers, and all of this kind of stuff. Now, just in case you don't realize, because I sometimes when the offerings begin to taper, and they haven't tapered a lot, just a little bit, I can tell that, you know, people sow into vision and they sow toward need, right? Those are at least two areas where people sow into the kingdom of God. And I want you to know that your sowing will not be wasted. There is a plan. Heaven knows what it is. And I will remind you of this, that before God gave the plan for the tabernacle to Moses on the top of Mount Sinai, he didn't dream it up out of nowhere. God didn't ask ChatGPT to make him a rendering of a future sanctuary in the wilderness. That sanctuary was a replica of the tabernacle in heaven. And we know that because that's what the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book of the Bible, tells us. And so I say that to say, before we ever got here at 2814 Mount Tabor Road, before this church ever began on Spring Street in downtown New Albany, God had a plan for every step in our future, and he knows where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. I'm going to say it again. Greater Faith is a growing church. It's a thriving church. You feel that faith in the building? I want you to stand to your feet, and I want you to praise him like you're thankful to be involved in it. Praise God. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. Amen. Just remain standing. I'm going to read a few verses here in just a moment. I will continue on about this one thing, and then I'll move into the message here tonight. Growing a church is like building a business in many respects. And, you know, you have to decide. I think every business starts small, depending on how many investors that you have to come on board with you. There are a lot of people that have connections with people with deep pockets, and they start large, but they still have years that they go through where I remember when Elon Musk started Tesla. He didn't start Tesla to be a car producer. He was building a car to showcase the batteries that he felt were going to change the way that the world functioned. And he didn't realize that the cars were going to take off the way that they have. But there were years and years that Tesla did not turn a profit. And they operated in the red for a long time. And there were production line shortages. And people would expect them to come out with 100,000 cars this quarter, and they would come out with 50,000 cars or 30,000 cars because something in their production line was the holdup. They could not produce as many cars as were being ordered. And so you have a backlog of things. Small businesses face challenges, and you have to decide whether you're going to be a mom-and-pop hamburger shop or you're going to become a Chick-fil-A. And in order to become a Chick-fil-A or a Burger King or something like that, and you franchise all over the world, There is a learning curve, and there's a lot of growing pains. There's a lot of leadership turnover, and there's a lot of money challenges when you're expanding the business like that. And so it's no different than the things that we face. We are still a first-generation church, and we have spent the last 24 and a half years trying to learn to navigate to getting things to the next level. And sometimes you don't see the full fruition of a lot of those things until you get into the next generation. Now, I don't plan on waiting that long, but I want the next generation to flourish 10, 30, 50, 100-fold beyond what we have done in the last 24 and a half years. And I don't know how soon or how long that's going to take, but you get the point. We are moving, and we are working through our issues. And so help us to make this cultural shift in your own minds and in your own leadership skills, and help us directors to find to create pathways for people to move into leadership. And what I'm preaching tonight has nothing to do with anything I have talked about, but I've had this in my spirit for the last couple of weeks, and I'm gonna preach about it tonight. Out of Mark chapter 3 and verse 20 through 22, the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. The multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. There was such a demand for the ministry of Jesus that he and his new disciples that were following him did not even have time to take a lunch break. And Brandon thinks it's funny. And verse 21, when his friends heard of it, when his friends, now one translation says, when his family members heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Now this did not happen until Jesus began to do one thing. He was performing miracles, but it wasn't until he began to cast devils out that the real problems began. And even his own family and friends said, his family said, he has lost his mind. Are you here tonight? And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub. He hath Beelzebub. The Amplified Version says it like this. Then he went to a house, probably Peter's house, but a throng came together again so that Jesus and his disciples could not even take food. And when those who belonged to him, his kinsmen, heard it, they went out to take him by force, for they kept saying, he is out of his mind, beside himself, deranged. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebub. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight from the subject, he's beside himself. Praise God. Now it's 7:30. I'm going to try not to preach real long, but I want something to happen in this place tonight. I've taken a little time with the Bible quizzers and talking about leadership and church culture and letting you know there is still a vision. Amen. But I want something to happen in this place. Would you put your hand on somebody nearby you, their shoulder? Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that you would move in this sanctuary tonight. Let the name of the Lord be highly exalted in this place. I pray, Lord, that your spirit and your anointing would baptize us, oh Lord. Come on, talk to the Lord. I want you to connect with him. I want you to connect with him. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody can get the Holy Ghost here tonight. Somebody can be delivered and set free. Alabosatai and the Lamosea. Yeah, Lamasatai and the Lamosea. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice. I praise your name. I praise your name. Shalalabosata. Shelebi Amaya Satai and the Lamosekea Baha. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give him praise. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. There is no single greater example of apostolic ministry in the Bible than the ministry of Jesus Christ, who operated with all authority, and he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And he fulfilled the Father's will and the Father's plan by being completely submitted to the will of the Father. And Jesus said, "The works that I do not do these on my own, but the one that sent me." He's the one that is doing the works. And there was, of course, a demonstration of great power. And I don't think that we need to go down the list of miracles that Jesus did, but there was nothing that was impossible to him. And as I began to comb through the Gospel of Mark in the last couple of weeks, I noticed that there was a pattern of some things more than some of the other Gospels. I think in quick succession, it gives us such a depiction of what the kingdom of God looks like when it is exampled through an individual that operates in apostolic power and authority. In the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, it says that Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and he took her by the hand and he lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her and she ministered unto him, or unto them. I believe it's the will of God that we get to that kind of place where we walk in that kind of authority just by taking somebody that is sick by the hand, that the fever would leave them. But the next verse says that it was in the evening time when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. This is in the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. This is not at the end of the gospel. This is not post-resurrection. This is in the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. They brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. The first word diseased here in this context or in this chapter means possessed. The second diseases in this means sickness. And so that tells me that there are diseases that come as a result of demonic spirits infiltrating human bodies. And it tells me that there are diseases that are biological forms of dysfunction or some invasion of something into the body that brought that disease upon them. In the same chapter in verse 38, it said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." Now that is an important statement. Jesus said, "I want to go into the next towns that I may preach. This is what I came for." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Preaching in the synagogues casting out devils in the synagogues. And verse 45 said, Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. There was a gravitational pull toward the ministry of Jesus. There was a law of attraction that was playing out in the spirit that was being pulled, that was pulling the sick and the demon possessed by the authority that was in him. Now it pulled the critics and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees as well, but they only came to discredit. But people whose lives were ravaged by sin and demonic powers were looking for deliverance. In the second chapter of the Gospel of Mark, again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. There was a stir that was happening because people all over the region were realizing, I have been oppressed by the devil. I have been vexed by the devil. And many that were possessed with the devil, when Jesus came into their proximity, it began to cause those demonic spirits to get stirred up because they knew him and they recognized his authority and they knew that their time was about to be over. Now the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10 verse 38 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Everybody say he did good. And he healed all that were oppressed of the what? For God was with him. He was healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The word oppressed there means to tyrannize or to oppress harshly, or to cause hardship and pain, to torment, to vex, to annoy, to bother, to trouble, to cause anguish, to treat in an evil way. Amen. To afflict and to cause hardship. It is emphasizing to us here, and I know this is like stating the obvious. I know some of you are going to sit there and say, well, duh, preacher. We realize that. But I don't think sometimes we really realize how vicious and how hateful and how vile that the powers of the enemy really are. That there is a God of this world, little g. There is a little g God of this world that is here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we have a world that is being drawn into witchcraft. And we have a world that is being vexed and attacked in their minds and in their bodies and is being tormented emotionally and physically by the devil. This is not a little thing. And good church is not going to get the job done. But there has to be a church. There has to be men and women that are willing to make themselves ready to operate in apostolic power and authority so that the demons of hell are not comfortable around us. In the third chapter of the Gospel of Mark, for he had healed many insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits. Everybody say unclean spirits. When they saw Jesus, they fell down before him and they cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. They recognized that authority. Now, in case you hadn't realized where I'm headed tonight, we are the body of Christ. And his authority is on us through the power of the name of Jesus. No wonder there is a ploy to propagate false doctrine throughout the world and to paint Christianity under the banner of everything except the name of Jesus. We live in a world where people will pray over their food in the name of Jesus. They will lay hands upon the sick and they will pray in the name of Jesus. When they ask any petition of the Lord, they will end it with the salutation in the name of Jesus. But when it comes down to going out down in the waters of baptism, they are confused about the difference between a title and a name. But I'm here to declare to you tonight, there is still only one baptism, and that is baptism in the name of Jesus. It is the canopy of our authority. It is the umbrella of our authority. It is that name with which we operate in. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of, or the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of Mark, it said, "For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues." Everybody say plagues. "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." This is in the same chapter, but it's different verses. And then in verse 14, it said, "He ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them for to preach." Everybody say preach. "And to have power to heal." Everybody say sicknesses. "And to cast out devils." I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know that this church believes this, that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. That's not the wrestling match that we are in, but we are wrestling against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. But demon-possessed people do not belong in front of therapists. Demon-possessed people do not need another prescription. What they need is people to function and operate in the apostolic authority and power to cast out those spirits. Come on, somebody, clap your hands unto the Lord. I'm coming after you tonight, saint of God. I'm coming after every believer that's filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm coming after every believer that is baptized in the name of Jesus. Casting out devils is not just for the pastor. It is not just for the preachers on the platform or the ministers in training. You have power over unclean spirits to cast them out. We are not called to coexist with the spirits of this world. We are called to cast them out. It's getting tight right there. It shouldn't get tight right there. The word cast means to throw or to drive. To throw them out, to evict them, to drive them out. And it is with the idea of force or impulse. We do not patty cake with demonic spirits. We do not ignore people that are oppressed of the devil. When you find somebody that is oppressed of the devil, that has come to the end of their rope, and they are terrified because all they see is destruction happening in their life, it is time for you to put on your cap of apostolic authority and let them know, "I have power and I have authority through the name of Jesus, and Jesus will deliver you right now." I'm not getting everybody on board with that right there, because you think it's for the super spiritual. Come on, somebody. Praise him so you can just get out of your discomfort. Now we know that Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We talk about the Apostle Peter all the time. But Jesus referred to James and John. He called them by the name Boanerges, and it means thunder. And he nicknamed James and John the sons of thunder. It literally means a tumult. It was the name given to them, implying that they would be powerful instruments accomplishing mighty acts for God by persevering in their inspired preaching and miraculous powers in spite of the opposition. Now I'm going to tell you something. There's not a person in this place that has not been terrified by the devil at some point in time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've had a demonic spirit walk up in your bedroom or in your house, or wake you up with a terrorizing dream in the middle of the night, night terrors, and you woke up scared to death because the spirit of fear was in your room. That's not the time for you to cower down and feel like the devil has power over you. That is your sign that the devil is threatened by you. I wish I had somebody believe me right now. Go ahead, Sister Sue Myers. Come on. We need some old-time religion to creep up on us around greater faith and let the people of this city know, if you need deliverance, I have the answer. Oh, somebody ought to praise him right now. I want you to watch this. Demonic spirits understand the order of things. They understand spiritual protocol. They understand spiritual order in government. They understand lines of authority. And Jesus gets on a ship and he goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he comes up on the shores of Gadara. And out of the caves of Gadara comes a man that is possessed with a legion of devils, 2,000 or more. He is possessed because Jesus said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That word legion means 2,000. One man was possessed with 2,000 devils. Now I know what happens. We got to fast and pray for 30 days. We got to have a 4-hour prayer meeting and get 30 people to join around them and shout at them and holler at them and point our finger and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus just had a little conversation with him. And when he got ready for them to come out, he just said, "You're coming out, boys." And this is what they said: "We want to stay in this country." Read it, it's in there. They said, "Please don't drive us out of this country," because they felt like they had jurisdiction in that region. And Jesus said, "Fine, you can go into these swine." And they went into the swine, and those swine went down into the waters. Well, what happened to the demonic spirits? Well, they didn't die with the pigs, but they did stay in the region. And Jesus did not feel direction to cast them out of the region, but he did feel direction to liberate that man that was possessed with devils. If you think that people aren't possessed with devils today, you've lost your mind. There's people all over this world that worship the devil or involved in witchcraft. And we have power over them. Everybody say apostolic power. Mark chapter 6, I'm in the same gospel. I'm only in chapter 6. He called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Everybody say, he gave them power over unclean. Are y'all here? Everybody say, he gave them power. Now look, you can't cast out a devil like that. He gave them power. Devil, if you want to let go of this guy, be a good idea. I ain't never seen a devil cast out. Well, I can't help that. Once you see them manifest on people's faces like a hologram, and you look the faces of demonic spirits, and you know, and they say their names to you. Once you see people writhing around on the ground like a snake and hissing at you like a snake. Once you see people's eyes come in on their nose. I'm not talking about crossed eyes. I'm talking about eyes that are in their sockets that come in like they're about to squash that person's nose like a snake. If you ever witness that for the first time and watch God deliver them and God fill them with the Holy Ghost, you will believe that we have power over unclean spirits. We are not here. I'm fixing to preach right now. We do not cower to the enemy. We do not coexist with the devil. We are here to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord and give him praise. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord and give him praise. I need some faith to rise in this sanctuary. Mark chapter 7. I'm only in chapter 7. Now you tell me why the Gospel of Mark takes almost every chapter and somewhere in that chapter, usually multiple times in the chapter, it is emphasizing to us that unclean spirits came out and that people that were diseased and were possessed with devils came out. This is part of the ministry of the New Testament church. It is not just laying hands on the sick. Some of you remember years ago, and I can tell you recent stories, but this one just came to me. I probably told this recently. But some of you remember we had a guest speaker in here. He was a pastor and came to preach for us, and it was right before General Conference. This has been, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And I get up to introduce him, but I had already felt the spirit of witchcraft in this building. I kept feeling it over here, and I had a choice to make. Either I'm just going to introduce the preacher and let him preach through it, and if he discovers it and deals with it, then so be it, or I can deal with it, and we can preach and have revival. And so I stepped in the pulpit, and I said, somebody in here has carried the spirit of witchcraft in here, and you're dabbling in things you don't even realize what you're dabbling in, and you are scared to death, but if you'll come right now, God will set you free. Right there on the second row, four young people came out at one time. They stood right here. Some of you remember that night. I can tell you the preacher that was preaching for us. They come and stood right here, and I said, if you'll begin to repent of your sins and you will lift your hands, God will deliver you from those demonic spirits. They began to puke stuff up out of them. God delivered them, and all four of them received the Holy Ghost in less than 5 minutes. We have power. I said, we have power. I understand that the enemy is against the people of God. I understand that the devil is attacking people out there, but we have power. Yeah. Mark chapter 7, from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. Now watch this. This woman's daughter had an unclean spirit. But the daughter was not there with her. But she heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Verse 28, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs, because he told her, I've not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She said, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Your daughter wasn't even there. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. I'm telling you, we have power and we have authority that you have not even realized yet. I'm not just trying to move people into leadership to get you a position in this church to serve. I'm trying to get you to realize that you, when God brought you out, He brought you out for a reason. He filled you with the Holy Ghost, and you've been baptized in the only saving name of Jesus. And if you will walk in that power and authority, some of you look bored to death. If you will walk in that power, there is no revival that can be stopped. When the people of God begin to walk in the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost that God has given us, would you praise Him? Yeah, but here's what we're afraid of. We're afraid it may not work. We're afraid it may not work. We're afraid that somebody will call us a wacko. We're afraid that somebody will call us a devil chaser. They're a fanatic. They think they're somebody. They think they are super spiritual. Well, they said that about Jesus too. His own family members came to get him because word got back to him that he was casting devils out, and they heard that the religious royalty of Judaism, of the Jews, were saying he has a devil and he is of Beelzebub and he's casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. And his family and friends showed up and they tried to take him by force, and they were saying, man, he's beside himself. He has lost his mind. He is deranged. He don't even know what world that he's living in, but it didn't even affect Jesus. What if we stop being concerned about what people think about us? We are not here to blend in. You're going to make me preach. We are not here to blend in with this world. We are not here to act like them. We are not here to pretend that we are not apostolic. We are not here to hide ourselves. You can be seated. Now, every single day, this is why you need to pray. Every single day, the enemy is formulating a strategy to attack you. He is developing a strategy to attack you. And he will attack your mind, and if that doesn't work, he will attack your body. If that doesn't work, he will attack your emotions. If that doesn't work, he will come in the back door. He will find any way that he can. He's got a strategy to attack you. There is a full-time satanic strategy against every child of God in this place. For those of you that think you're tiptoeing through your Pentecostal tulips and that you're just going through a rough time every now and then. Now, there are times where we are tested and our faith is tested and God is expanding our faith. But there are other times that it's just full-blown demonic attack. We're not looking for a devil under every rock because we don't have to look under rocks to find a devil. Because when you go to bed tonight, there might be one show up in your dreams tonight. You know what I'm talking about, to be waking up screaming about something and terrorizing, having dreams of snakes and all that kind of stuff. And let me tell you this, those of you that handle snakes, God bless you. But if you ever have a dream that has a snake in it, that is a sign that there is a demonic strategy that is against you and God's trying to reveal it to you. You will never have a dream that has a snake in it where it's not demonic. Oh, well, I got a little Sunday night golf clap going on. All the time, the enemy is coming against. But what if you didn't wait for the enemy to attack? What if every day you just walked in authority? What if every day you plead the blood of Jesus Christ? What if every day you say, you wake up and you say, today God, the enemy may have something for me, but I am in the presence of God and I am walking in that authority. And if he attacks me, it's on him, because he's going to pick a fight that he cannot win. What if you just walked up? What if you just woke up and said, today, if I walk into the grocery store and somebody gives me a dirty look, maybe I just might realize that there's a demonic spirit behind it, and I'm going to plead the blood over my mind in advance, and I am going to take authority and dominion in advance. I am going to walk under the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost in advance, and I am going to do the will of God. Come on, somebody. I need somebody that believes what I'm preaching right now. Oh, come on, come on. I'm not just trying to sermonize to you tonight. There needs to be something in the spirit world that happens when you walk into a place, a village, a city, somewhere, and somebody comes out possessed with a devil. The best thing that you can hope for is that the devil starts talking out of somebody. Donnie and Lisa Tetrick were there the day that I went to pray for Jimmy Tetrick. And when I prayed for him, he could barely wake. He could barely rouse himself. God gave him a chance. He could barely rouse himself laying there on that couch. Am I telling the truth? Hadn't eaten in at least a week, I think. It was about 7 days. Had not eaten anything. Couldn't hardly wake up. Somehow we got him to wake up and got him to repent. And when I started rebuking that spirit of cancer on him, when I started telling death to leave him alone, am I telling the truth? Lisa was sitting there and she went, my God. Because on his face was a gnarled up old man that came out and sat on top of him. Am I telling the truth? You can see that demonic spirit come out and sit there on his face. And I'm here to tell you that when we prayed that thing off of him, God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know what happened after that moment, but I know he put on, 17 pounds after that. I know a couple of weeks later he drove by and was sitting on the front porch drinking coffee, and I know that God gave him an opportunity. We are not intimidated by I'm going to tell you. You know what? I'm fixing to get stubborn in the Holy Ghost here tonight. I'm not after your golf clap. I want some people in this place to get sick and tired of being bullied and pushed around by the devil. I want some people in this place right now to quit being threatened by people that hate you and family members that hate you, until you begin to pray and intercede for them and the devil comes out of them. If Jesus can speak to a woman about her daughter that's not in front of him, and when she gets home, the devil is gone out, we can pray that same prayer. I want somebody to lift your voice right now and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, some people are going to look at you and say, I don't know what happened to them, but they're out of their mind. They are deranged. They are beside themselves. No, we're not deranged. We're just functioning in the power that we already have. Shatalalabosata. Yeah, come on. Come on. Some of you have been attacked by the devil for so long, it's time for you to quit coexisting with it, and for you to take authority over it, and for you to tell it, I'm going to put you under my feet. I'm going to take authority over you. I don't care if I only get 5 or 6. I'm going to get somebody in this house tonight that's fed up with being pushed around. Shitata yotolamosea. That's it. Come on, we're fixing to turn this place into an apostolic prayer meeting. I'm here to remind Greater Faith what we're all about. We're not, this ain't a religious institution. This is a house of deliverance. This is a house of power. This is a house of authority. That's it. Come on. Somebody's about to break free from the spirit of the enemy that's been binding you, that's been weighing you down, that's been sitting upon your life. Come on, Greater Faith. I need some old prayer warriors. I need some old intercessors. I need some people that know how to go in. Ah, come on. I bind every addiction. I bind every demonic spirit. I bind every spirit of fear. Jesus, in your name, Father. Don't you think it's time that you pray in a different dimension? Don't you think it's time you operate on another level? Rabasota, come on. I command you to be free in the name of Jesus. I take authority and dominion over every demonic force that is coming against you. That's it. If you need deliverance from an addiction tonight, tonight's the night to get it. If you're addicted to nicotine and you want to be free, tonight's the night. If you're addicted to alcohol, if you're addicted to drugs, tonight is the night to get it. Deliverance in the name of Jesus. Yeah, come on. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. My God, I feel his presence here right now. Shelebe amoyotala la 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 Yeah. Come on, somebody needs to break in the presence of the Lord. That's it. Come on. There's deliverance in this house right now. You can be free right now. You can be set free right now. Josh, I need you to be moving through this altar. Brother Nichols, I need you to be moving through this altar. My brother, Pastor Nichols, I need you to be moving through this altar. Come on. In the name of Jesus. If you want to be free, I want you to get right here in the middle. If you got something you need to be free from, I need you to get right here in the middle. I'm not saying you're possessed, but if you need to be delivered of something, I want you to get right here in the middle. I need some men of God right here in the middle. In the name of Jesus. Brother Clark, come on. Brother Cole, come on. Brother Nichols, come on. You might need to ask what it is. You might need to ask them what they're fighting. I bind the spirit of suicide in this place. I bind the spirit of suicide in this place right now. Lamasata. Tulamosea. Tita tata. Shuntulamosea. Sotalamesea. And the Leveamoya de la Mosaya. And the Lamoye Tekea Mohoka de la Masaya. Sundalamohoka de la Mosaya. Sundalamohoka de la Masaya. He Sotolamohosa Talalamaha. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Yalamosataya. Yalemesetea. Yalamosataya. Yandalamosakaya. Yalalalamosataya. Come on, don't stand around and look. I need some people that know how to operate in the Holy Ghost. I need some people to operate that know how to operate in the Holy Ghost. I need you to do it. Sutalamahaya. That's it. Come on, that's it. I don't care what it is. You may have carried it for 30 years, but God can set you free tonight. Ilamaya Santa Hakata. Oh, that's it right there. Come on. I feel a breaking right there. Ishanta Yosutoposea. Oh, Shilibia Bahaya. Oh, Satya Maha. In the name of Jesus. Come on, if you know how to operate in the Holy Ghost, I need your help. Men and women, if you know how to operate in the Holy Ghost, I need your help. I don't need any observers here tonight. If you're going to spectate, you can go home. Come on, some of you are going around the same cycle, repeating the same mistakes. In the name of Jesus, somewhere in there, there's a devil that you've got to put under your feet. Oh, Sataya Tolamosea. There's some people in here that's scared to get deliverance. But that's the enemy working on you. That's the enemy trying to keep you from being free. There is no fear in love, or perfect love casteth out all fear. That's it, come on. That's it, come on. That's it, come on. That's it, come on. Alala bosa. And the lamayata. On the lamasekeya. And the lamahaya sakaya dalamaha. Come on, deliverance is happening right now. Deliverance is happening right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on. The Lord is doing this in this house right now. Somebody's about to get dominion over something. Shutulabohoye. Shetega baha. Come on, let it out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Shelebea baha. Shondulamaha. Yelabakayo tolan mosata. Some of you are scared to get involved in this because you're afraid of what might rise up in you. But don't you want to be free? Oh, Shatahaka. Yelamosakaya. Come on. Shata la la maha. Shota la la mosakaya. Shota la la mahaya. Oh, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Shata la la maha. Come on, this is what spiritual warfare looks like. Oh, shataha. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be free. Be free of the Holy Ghost right now. Be free of the Holy Ghost right now. Shelebe amohoya. Shelebe amohoya de la mosaya. If you don't know what to do, just reach over, put a hand on somebody's shoulder, and begin to pray apostolic covering on them. Begin to pray Holy Ghost protection upon them. Begin to pray the blood of Jesus cover them. In the name of Jesus, Satalala Mosiah. Ilamaye Satolabohoyasa. Oh, Shata. Oh, Shata la Mosiah. In the name of Jesus, be loose in the Holy Ghost right now. Be loose in the Holy Ghost right now. I command you to be loose in the Holy Ghost right now. Andala Moseke Abaha. Andala Baha Kotala Maha. Jesus, in your name. I need some of you to pray for our city. I need some of you to pray for our nation, our region, our world. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He's working. He's working. Let every chain be broken. You don't have to leave here until every chain is broken. We're not done. We're not done. Come on, don't start fellowshipping. This ain't a fellowship, Paul. Jesus, in your name, Father. Jesus, in your name, Father. Yalemeya Mosa. Andalamoye Keyamoya Sata. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Telebeya Mohonda. Shotalala Mohoya. I need you to pray. If you're not going to pray, you don't need to be in here. I need you to pray because God is changing lives right now. God is setting people free. Ikayela mama mama yasa. Yele me amaya sotolo moho yele ke amaya sa. Makaya Sotolomohoye. Ishotolomohoye. Shotolomohoye lebosata. Jesus ha. Jesus ha. Selebeya mayosata. Yelebeya mayosotolomohoyasa. I just can't tell you what I feel in this place right now. I just need some of you to pray with me. I need some of you to enter into a dimension of prayer you hadn't been in a while. Yes, Shatala Moho Yandalamaha, yes, see. Don't leave here tonight without the Holy Ghost. Don't leave here without the Holy Ghost here tonight. Don't leave here without being baptized in Jesus' name tonight. It takes 5 minutes to repent of your sins. It takes 10 minutes to get baptized in the name of Jesus. We've got robes. We've got baptismal clothes. We got warm water right here in the building. It takes 10 minutes. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. I want us to pray tonight. For those of you that don't know, Jenna, where are you at? Right there. Those of you that don't know, Heidi's not here. Jenna and Heidi Jones are sisters. They have another sister, Renea, that has been in the battle of her life for many years. And in the last couple of years was diagnosed with cancer. And they seem to be managing it for a while. But and also, Sister Harvey is not here, but it's Jen and Heidi and Renee's mother, of course. And Renee, they told her she had a tumor, a cancerous tumor on her back. She was in excruciating pain, and so they told her we need to do emergency surgery now. That was about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. And so they did the surgery, but they didn't get it all. They couldn't get it all without damaging the nerves in her spine. And now it has metastasized and is running throughout her body. Today, after this morning's service, they told me that she's too weak and in too much pain to walk. And it's my understanding they have not given her much time. So they took her back to the hospital this afternoon. That's where Heidi and Sister Harvey are. And So I want us to pray for this family. Certainly we are not giving up on Rania, but also this is a very, very difficult thing to watch your sister. How old is Rania? 43? 42, 43. So young. 42. Very young. And has had a lot of battles for a lot of years. Years ago, I don't remember how many years ago that was, I sat with Adam and Jenna and Rania and taught Search for Truth for a long time, 14 or 15 weeks. Completed that Bible study. And it's been a lot of rocky times for Rania since then. But the Lord does all things well. And I am praying for the strength of this family. Now, she did go to the hospital, but she's been at home for several days, and they have had to care for her round the clock. And there's medication, pain medication that they can offer her, but Rania doesn't want to take it because she doesn't want there to be some kind of addiction form, which I can completely understand. But we're going to pray for this family right now. We are going through our day-to-day and just kind of, you know, we're going to get up in the morning and we're going to figure out what do we have to get done tomorrow. And we might be stressed because there's too much traffic or because somebody cut us off on the interstate, or because somebody was jumping down our throat at work. But whatever we're facing at this present time is not like what they're facing. And we have others that have been through some very difficult times, even in the last 12 to 15 months in here. It's a very hard road to walk. But the Bible, above everything that it says that the Holy Ghost is, it is the Comforter. And so we're going to pray. If you would find somebody just to link up with. And we're not going to crowd around Jenna and whoever, but we are going to call Jenna, Heidi, Sister Harvey, Ronald. I don't think I'm missing anybody. But we're going to pray right now. And Rania's daughter. Praise God. Daughters, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray your strength upon this family. You are still our healer and you're still our redeemer. We plead the blood of Jesus, oh God. We still know that you're able to heal. We speak healing. We speak deliverance. We speak comfort. We speak encouragement. Pray that your name, God, would be exalted, that you would be glorified in everything. We praise your holy name, Jesus. Come on, somebody lift your voice for a moment. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. Shalabo sete keyamaha. Shelebi amayo sotolobo seya. Shelebi amayo sotolobo seya. Yalamaye keyamoya sataya. Yelebi amaya sa yelabo sanda. Oh, God, let the strength of the Holy Ghost baptize this entire family. Oh, God, let your purpose be revealed in it all. We praise you in everything. We give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning us. Tele me amo sanda katala mosea. Tele me amo yo sotolo mosiaka. Tiala moseke amayo sotolo mosi. Hallelujah, we praise you. Hallelujah, we praise you. Amen. Amen. I am still waiting on the Lord for direction for the spiritual prep for When Your World. We are not just trying to throw this together and program it and think that God will give us a harvest, but yes, we can pray. Yes, we can have prayer meetings. And yes, we can do a 24-hour prayer chain. But I want to find what the Lord wants us to do. But I'm expecting that each of you are taking time with the Lord to be sober in His presence and to pray for a city-shaking revival and event. It caused quite a stir last year. A lot of people knew about the Jesus Tent Revival portion of it. And we believe that it's going to do that again. And we're going to hit something here in the next 2 or 3 weeks where it's going to be a full court press all the way until the event, which is the second week of June, the second Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of June. I believe that's June the 11th through the 14th. And that's going to be exciting. This year, Brother, how many of you remember back a few years ago, I was trying to get Brother Chris Green in here to preach a revival. And we were ramping up to it. And he called me and he said, "Man, I'm so sorry. I cannot come. I'm taking a church." How many of you remember that? He never got to preach here. He was very powerful, apostolic. Brother Robinette somehow double booked. It's no problem. I ended the friendship with him. It's okay. But I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But I reached out to Chris Green thinking that it was a long shot, and he texted me back immediately. And he said, "I saw this happen last year. I was watching this happen last year, and I'm there." And so Brother Fish is not going to be able to stay over and preach for us Sunday because he took a church, and he can't be gone on Sundays. But Chris Green and Braden Anderson will be here preaching through our campuses. And as of right now, I think that Brother Green will preach here on Sunday morning and at LC at 2, and then Brother Anderson will preach at Hope at 11, and then, of course, the service that night. But other than that, same cast and crew: Taylor Fish, Scott Sistrunk, DJ Hill, Braden Anderson, Chris Green, and then Brother Shadi Azar, who did the session on cultural evangelism. And they are, you know, they're tweaking those sessions, so it's not going to be like a replica of last year. They will probably cross-section some of that, weaving it in, but it's going to be fresh material, and we are very, very excited about that. I'm open for feedback on the rendering that I showed you. That's not an architect didn't do that. Chat did that in 30 seconds. Well, with about 15 revisions, but it was 30 seconds each time. But it is pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty amazing looking. And we can do even better than that with some great architects and whatever. If that's what the Lord wants us to do. And so I'm open for feedback on that. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Don't care. If you don't care, get out. We want you to have an opinion. I'm just kidding. Come on. Loosen up. But anyway, I'm excited about the future and everything that the Lord is doing. Amen. And I'm excited very soon you'll be seeing a good number of new faces involved in leadership. And I'm excited about that. We want that to happen. God bless you. Greet somebody.